I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go. Father
God, I am. From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Los Angeles, Apostle Joel Obobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teaching that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Father, we thank you for this blessed time in your presence, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. All power is given unto me in heaven and the earth. Then verse 19, he says, go ye therefore. Hallelujah. Go ye therefore. That means go ye because of this. Hallelujah. Now that must mean that whatever follows, therefore, must be the reason for the power. Wow. Are you getting what I'm saying? If I say that, if I say Maureen has given me her car keys, go ye therefore into her car and bring me my second t-shirt. Right? Now, if I say something like that, obviously, what I'm asking you to do must explain the reason why Maureen gave me her keys. Wow. Is it not the case? Yeah. So, if I say, Maureen has given me her keys, go ye therefore, whatever I have to say must be very important, because if that is not happening, then getting hold of Maureen's keys is actually useless. Is everyone understanding me? Right. So Jesus said, he came and said, he spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So right there, the Lord is showing us what his power is supposed to be used for. Wow. Primarily. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Now you can use something for many, or many things do have alternate uses. Yeah. Which are not the main reason why those things were created. You can have so many things that can be used for so many things, but they are not the reason why. See, like the other day, I was reading an article about different things you can use around the house for cleaning and so on, different things, you know. Then there was one of the points in the article was, you know, the dryer sheets? The dryer sheets you put in the dryer? Right. Now, they're saying that instead of throwing them away after you've used them in the dryer, you can actually use them to scrub your bathtub. Wow. Yeah, you see, you didn't know that, right? Yeah, you owe me an offering for that. Do you see? She's saying that you can kind of make a sponge out of it and that it will clean the bathtub and it will actually give it a fresh smell, and then it will give it a kind of sheen. You know, there's a shine to it just when you use that. Wow. Now, do you think that is why that thing was made? Wow. Huh? But I guess they're right. And I'm sure if you used it, as some of you would be trying today, you may be saving yourself some money. Yeah. And you may have found a way finally to do a good job at cleaning your bathroom. Do you see? But no one goes to the shop to say that, you know, I want to clean my bathroom. Do you have some of those dryer sheets? Wow. You see? Yeah, because nowhere on the box does it even say that this thing can do something like that. But I think some notorious individual who was just curious who could not find their sponge just said, I'll try this, and discovered, or they stumbled into a truth which has been a blessing to them, and now they're sharing it with the world. Right. So similarly, the power of God can do so many things. Are you getting what I'm saying? The power of God can heal the sick. The power of God can do so many things. The power of God can provide for people. The power of God can deliver people from evil spirits. The power of God can make you be the one that's chosen at the interview. The power of God can make your landlord decide to forgive your rent for 1 month. Yeah? See, some people need that. Yeah. The power of God does such amazing things. Yeah. The power of God can make someone like you. Yeah. The power of God can make someone blind to everyone else and see only you in their world. The power of God can do such things. The power of God can make visa officers overlook what is plain and obvious. The power of God somehow can make them either not see it or to decide that it doesn't even matter. Do you see what I'm saying? The power of God can make, you know, schools decide to give you financial aid. I mean, your grades may not be the best. Do you see? But somehow the financial aid office cannot understand why they are sending you that letter, but they are sending it anyway. Someone should receive that in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Financial aid office is sending you a letter and they are telling you that somehow you have qualified for a $10,000 scholarship, and so you should come and see them and just sign the papers, and so you can take advantage of it and bless yourself. You know, the power of God can do a variety of things. Hallelujah. But you see, Jesus didn't mention any of these things. Just like the people who make the dryer sheets don't mention on the box that it cleans the bathtub. They only talk about how it can soften your clothes and give them a fresh smell and so on. But they don't say anything about some of the other things, you know, that it can do. And the reason is that it is not its primary purpose. Do you understand? It is not an abuse to use it that way. It's a blessing, but it's not the main reason for it. Hallelujah. I mean, so much so that when you acquire something for the side benefit, you rather look awkward. When you spend money to get something because of what it gives you on the side, do you get it? Like I go buy a bottle of maybe juice or something expensive, organic orange juice, and then I pour it out because I need the gallon. Do you see what I'm saying? Because I'm looking for a gallon, not even to hold anything, but just to sort of sit something on it somewhere, and I can't find anything, so I'm just buying a gallon of organic orange juice. Hallelujah. Amen. Says, go ye because of this, and teach all nations. This is the reason for the power. Hallelujah. So when we are not going to the nations and going to people to preach, we are seriously underutilizing the power. Do you understand? I mean, to a point where we're even beginning to abuse it. We're abusing it when we're using it so much for the things that are not the reason for the power, and not at all for the main reason why the power was given. Hallelujah. Look at another verse. Look at another. I told you three verses, right? The second one, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Can you see Luke chapter 4 and verse 18? This is Jesus speaking. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Luke 4 and verse 18. Now, this one says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Hallelujah. When God has anointed you, it means his Spirit is upon you. Hallelujah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Hallelujah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Hallelujah. So what it means then is that the preaching of the gospel to the poor is actually proof of the presence of the Spirit of God on someone. Can you understand it? Yeah. The preaching of the gospel to the poor. You see, he says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That must mean you have a lot of power. Do you see? If the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, then there is a lot of power resting on you. And is it not interesting how that when the power comes upon the person, the first manifestation is that he's preaching the gospel to the poor. Hallelujah. He's healing the brokenhearted to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised, right? So even though the Spirit of the Lord can speak to your loan officer to forgive your loans, it looks like that's not one of the things here. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So again, we can see the main purpose versus the side benefit that comes out of it. Can you see that? So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So the anointing or the power or the Spirit upon a man of God is supposed to be used to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring healing to the brokenhearted, to bring deliverance to captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's so much so that, you know, the Bible says after Jesus read this verse 20, he says he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. Sermon is over. Wow. Are you getting what I'm saying? I mean, Jesus said, "This is it. This is it. No more, no less." I think it would have been nice to be in that church because, I mean, as you can see, Jesus' sermon, like, how long does it take to read this? That is the whole sermon for the day. I mean, if I was Jesus, I would be done a long time ago. But unfortunately for you, I'm not. Hallelujah. Can you see what is going on? I mean, it must be the crux of the matter. It must be the real matter. I mean, that after this, he's not preaching, "Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do this." He's not saying anybody receive, you know, receive this or receive that. He's not giving out anything. He's just preached this. This is, he says, "The anointing is on me, and this is what is happening." And the Bible says he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him because they were not used to such short sermons. Short, straight to the point, you see. So when he realized that the people are still looking for more preaching, then he added one sentence: "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." As for, and then he said, "After this, you will not get me to stand up anymore." Hallelujah. Right? So you can see that when the Spirit of God is upon someone, they're going to go around the world preaching the gospel. Say amen. Amen. Then the third one is Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And let's read from Well, no, let's stay with Luke. Let's stay with Luke chapter 7 and then verse 22. Luke chapter 7 and verse 22. Maybe we can even back up a little bit and go to verse 16. It says, "And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God has visited his people." Can you see that? This is, if you read the account just before that, you would see that Jesus had just raised someone from the dead. And they said, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region about. And the disciples of John showed him of these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or shall we look for another? In that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. And Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor, the gospel, to the poor, the gospel is preached." Amen. He said, to the poor, the gospel is preached. Mind you, the people were saying, what John heard was that everybody is saying that God has visited his people. What John was hearing from where he was, actually, if you look at the other one, look at the other one quickly, the Matthew chapter 11 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 5. You see, you start reading from verse 2. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 2. "Now, when John had heard in the prison," you see, so John was in prison. "When John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Hallelujah. Yeah, if you don't get angry with me, you're going to get one of these things. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, you can see that John was in prison, right? And I don't know why John sent people to go and ask Jesus this question, considering that he, John, had baptized Jesus Christ. Do you understand? And that was the most dramatic baptismal meeting of all time. I mean, the one we had recently was not anything like that. Do you get it? Pastor Charles was there, Pastor Munene was there, and I didn't hear about any dove or anything coming around to announce anything. Right. But in John the Baptist meeting where he was baptizing Jesus, the Bible says the heavens opened. Yeah. Pastor Charles, did you see anything like that? You were falling in the water. Hey! The one who was doing the baptism was himself at risk. Yeah. Right. You see, so John had baptized Jesus Christ himself. John had baptized him. And had been there when the heavens had opened, and then the Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. Wow, how dramatic. And it says the voice came out of nowhere and said, "This is my beloved Son. Do you see? In whom I am well pleased." It said, "This is my beloved son." Then it says, "Hear ye him. This is my beloved son." I mean, and John was there. Right. So now, John is sending people to go and ask this beloved son. Do you see? This person whom he baptized, you know, in such a dramatic context, you know, he's sending people to go and ask him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect somebody else? Are you sure you are the Messiah for real? Or did we hear right on that day?" Do you see? I mean, it must have been that John probably was expecting something else from Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Yeah, he was expecting a certain use of the power, or the use of the power in a certain direction. Do you understand? I mean, if you are in prison, you see, and you know that your one of your sheep, one of the people that you baptized, is doing wonders in town, you know, and people are saying that God has visited his people. I mean, that's what the people had to say. Their comments were that a great prophet has arisen among us. Then somebody said, no, this is not a prophet. He said, God has visited his people. And they came and told John, and they said, "John, you won't believe what is going on in town. God is in town." And said, "Who? God has visited his people. I mean, what are you talking about?" Said, "The guy you baptized, Jesus Christ. Do you remember how you baptized him and the skies and the heavens opened and there was a dove, and the dove said that, or the voice came and said, 'This is my beloved.' I tell you, that guy is doing wonders. What is going on?" Said, "The people are being healed. People are being delivered of evil spirits. People are even being raised from the dead." John said, "Wow. You mean people are being raised from the dead? Oh, then this jail problem, easy. If he can raise the dead, he can break a lock." It must be easier to break a lock than to raise the dead. That is why you hear more about burglary than the raising of the dead. Isn't it? It must be easier. It must be easier to break into a place that is locked and to swing the doors open than to raise someone from the dead. So John just sat there and just put two and two together and said, "Look, I'm out of here." And he was waiting, perhaps 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, no show. And he's thinking, "But this guy was a member of my church. I baptized him. I mean, he must come and get me out." There must be some of the power available, you know, to do this kind of work. Then he sent some people to give him the book, "Those Who Forget." To read, they said, "Maybe this guy has not read this book. So can you send him this book, 'Those Who Forget'?" And still no show. Hey! So he began to wonder what is going on. So at that point, he sent two of his disciples and he said, "Go ask this man that, 'Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect somebody else? Is the Messiah yet to arrive?'" You know, and Jesus answered John with the true sign of an anointed man. He said, "The true sign of the power of God on someone or in a place is not that he is able to take people out of jail. That's not the true sign. That's not the proof." Do you understand what I'm saying? The true sign that God even is with you is not the fact that he took you out of some trouble. That's not where the proof is. That is a truth. That is a reality. God can do it. The Bible says, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." The Bible says, "I will make rivers in a desert." He said, I mean, the main thing a desert doesn't have and cannot have is a river. And he said, "I'm going to make rivers in a desert. I'll make rivers flow in a desert." Hallelujah. I mean, we're talking about a God who is able to do all things. A God who is able to do the impossible. A God who is able to turn things around in your favor. A God who is able to open doors that have been closed for a lifetime. And God is able to open them. Hallelujah. But John said, I need to know. I need some proof. I need to know if you are the person we're waiting for. Because I've been here. I thought that the least you would do, you know, after reading Those Who Forget, is to remember that I baptized you and come and get me out. But Jesus answered and said, go, verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. He said, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Amen. The poor have what? The gospel preached to them. Then he added a little something. He said, and blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. That was a personal message to John, just in case you're getting offended or getting upset that I didn't do what you expected me to do. I didn't move where you expected me to move. I didn't direct my power where you expected me to direct it. You know, I want you to know that you are blessed if you are not offended, because eventually it may get to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? But I just need you to know what the power is primarily for. What is the power for? Hallelujah. See, that is why Healing Jesus Sunday ought to be a most important Sunday in the life of our church. Hallelujah. Because it is the service that celebrates this particular activity. Hallelujah. It is the service that celebrates the blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, the lepers being cleansed, the deaf hearing, and the dead being raised, and the poor having the gospel preached unto them. Hallelujah. And that is what we've been blessed to be involved with. Hallelujah. Our church and our pastor has been anointed by God. And thank God for the anointing on his life. And that anointing is not only giving people visas or opening doors for people to get married, or giving people financial breakthroughs, or getting people jobs in places they didn't expect to find a job, you know, and other such breakthroughs of material wealth. But that anointing is doing what it was given to do. Hallelujah. And when you see that such an anointing is at work, what you do is to partner with the anointing. Because joining hands with the person upon whom the Spirit of the Lord is joining hands with the Spirit of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? The reason why sometimes you don't touch people is because of what is on them. You like the person, but you don't like what is on them. Because you don't like what is on them, and the thing is on them. Do you see? You still like the person, but something you don't like is on him. And because you don't like that thing on him, you're going to avoid him, because you do recognize that an interaction with the person is an interaction with the thing on him. Is that not true? Yeah. So whatever it is on him. That is why when Ebola was around, you know, people who really wanted to help Ebola patients still would try to avoid them in a certain way, a certain kind of contact. Even your own relative who's just coming to see you in the room is dressed like they're going to space. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because you do recognize that whatever is on the person if you interact with the person, you are interacting with that thing, and that thing will affect you also. Hallelujah. So when you see someone doing things that are proof that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, then partnership with that person is actually partnership with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Joining hands with that person is joining hands with the Spirit of God. That is why, let me give you a bonus verse today. Bonus verse, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 7. Sorry, verse 9. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, that means solid guys, right? Who seemed to be pillars, when they perceived the grace that was given to me, do you understand? When they perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Hallelujah. Now, just go back a little bit. What's in verse 7? Verse 7, right? But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me as the gospel of the circumcision unto Peter, right? Now, all that this means is simply the gospel of the uncircumcision means preaching to the uncircumcised people, right? And then the gospel of the circumcision was simply preaching to the circumcised people, right? So one of them was preaching to the Gentiles and the other one was preaching to the Jews, right? And he says, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me and the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, then the next verse, verse 8, it says, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. Do you get it? What he's saying is that whoever it was that was working, you know, effectually in Peter, you know, to make him an apostle among the circumcised people, the Jews, right? Who do you think that was? Who do you think that was? The Holy Spirit? You think it was the Holy Spirit? You think he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the Gentiles? Don't be confused about it. It sounds complex, but it's not. It's not, isn't it? It says he that wrought, that means the one wrought is worked, right? He that worked effectually in Peter, you know, to the apostleship of the circumcision, right? The same was mighty in me in the Gentiles, or towards the Gentiles. So what he's saying is that whoever it was, whatever it was, that made Peter so powerful, do you see, towards the work of God among the Jews, that same person, that same spirit, that's it, whatever it was, you call it anything. Call it anything, but whatever it was, obviously he's saying that what people do is a function of what is at work in them. Hallelujah. He's saying that it is what is in people that explains what they do. Amen. It is what is in people that explains what they do. And so he said that it looked like there was something or someone in Peter making Peter work so effectively among the Jews, and that same something was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you can see, so then follows their reaction. So the next verse, so when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, when they perceived the grace, so that's something. It's called the grace of God. When they perceived the grace that was given unto me, then they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen and they to the circumcision. That's the point where they said to Barnabas, listen, we're joining hands with you. We're going to fellowship together. We want to be partners together because we realize that connecting to you is connecting to the grace that is in you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Connecting to you is connecting to the grace that is upon you. Connecting with you and fellowshipping with you, partnering with you, becoming partners with you is a work of connecting ourselves to the grace or whatever is making you do what you do. Hallelujah. And, you know, throughout the years, I've just watched how the Healing Jesus campaign has grown, campaign after campaign after campaign, you know, and I've observed how the crusade has developed, and I've observed how that God has enlarged it and enlarged it, and God has supplied all its needs. You know, I mean, Healing Jesus has come this far, perhaps without even a contribution from you just yet. What makes you think it will not go on without you? Right? So what we're talking about today is not about helping Healing Jesus as much as it is about giving you an opportunity to partner with whatever is helping Healing Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And then, of course, we're going to get the side benefit of Healing Jesus receiving a contribution from you. Do you see? But that contribution, whether it comes or not, Healing Jesus will be Healing Jesus, and Healing Jesus will continue to do what it's doing. But you will have missed the opportunity to be part of something that clearly has God in it. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So anyway, finally, I think it's a good place to end my message. Amen. Yeah, I think it's a good place to end my message. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to show you a couple of, you know, they're just short videos, like 7 minutes, you know, and I want to show you just a couple of them and for you to see what Healing Jesus is doing. Remember, when you see the poor being helped, it's a sign that the power is there. Hallelujah. It's a sign that the power is there. Even in the natural world, you can see that it takes a lot of power to help the poor, isn't it? Yeah, that's why it is Bill Gates who has an AIDS foundation and so on. You get it? But regular people don't create foundations, you know, because you need some power to be able to help the poor. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, and you can't do much for the poor when you yourself need so much of help. But as you partner with Jesus, it will be an end to your need for help. Whoever is behind Healing Jesus, the grace of God is going to be with you and to help you also. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me and let's pray for a moment. And everybody just close your eyes and pray and say, Lord, I want you to speak to me about how you want me to respond to what I've heard today. I want you to show me what to do and touch my heart and minister to me in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Now, just before we go into the videos, while every eye is closed, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior if you haven't yet done that. Remember, Jesus died for your sins. Jesus died for your sins. Remember, the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And today is an opportunity for you to sign up for everlasting life. That's for you. Death and departure from this world will not be the end for you, but that you can look forward to going to heaven to be with Jesus. Sounds like a fable, but it's true. It is true. And And I want to give you that opportunity. So if you're here this morning and you want to give your life to Jesus, while every eye is closed at this time, I want you to raise up your right hand and I'll pray for you. Is there anybody here like that today? You want to give your life to Jesus? Is there anyone who wants to give your life to Jesus today? Thank you, Lord. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. And make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. So I want to show you a video. The first one I want to show you real quick is To the Ends of the Earth. To the Ends of the Earth. And this is showing you one of the, it's just a summary of one of the crusades, Healing Jesus crusades, and I want you to watch it. So let's just do this first one, and then I'll show you a second one, and then I'll give you a chance to partner with Healing Jesus. Amen.